The psalmist David can't wait to tell you this morning the good news. You get the impression that there is something bubbling up in his belly. Some words that he just can't wait to tell you. And he just launches at the beginning of the psalm saying, "Great is the Lord," he says, "and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." You kind of get the feeling that Psalm 145 isn't meant to be read or recited by someone like me. It's meant to be shouted and proclaimed, maybe sung, maybe with trumpets going on in the background or fireworks going off in the middle of the night sky. This is a psalm where David wants to not only tell you, but shout it to you, that great is the Lord, greatly to be praised. The good news is that God is great and unending in blessing, and it's something that he cannot contain within himself. It just rolls on through the first five verses. He says, "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate." You can't just take a breath there. You have to keep reading. It's like a snowball for the psalmist. It just starts off and it keeps on going and going and going. You kind of get the impression that David's having a pretty good day. That things are going well for him. That he has reason to rejoice. And we, after all, have had days like this, you know? Days when the house is clean and the kids are fed, the economy is up, unemployment is down, crime is down, the football team's winning, your favorite pie is baking in the oven. Good things that are happening in your life, where it's easy, I would suppose, to rejoice. But I wonder if David ever had a bad day. In fact, maybe one of the questions that I'll ask him when I see him up there, if I could stand in line long enough to ask him a question, would be, "David, did you rejoice even on your bad days too? Was it easy to say words like, 'Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever,' when you had assassins trying to hunt you down? When you had a lot of problems in your life, when you had to make decisions about this great nation you were leading? I mean, come on, it certainly couldn't be that easy to praise God even then, could it?" And I suppose that's kind of the catch point for us this morning too, isn't it? How do we praise? How do we rejoice when all around us the world is trying to tear us down? Two men were walking through a field one day, and all of a sudden they realized that there was an enraged bull that was staring them down. Instantly they darted toward the nearest fence and they started running as fast as they could, but the bull was faster and was snarling mean, wanting to eat them up. And one of the fellows named Steve said to the other fellow named John, "Put up a prayer, John. We're in for it. This is the end." And John said, "I can't. You see, I've never said a public prayer in my life." So Steve said, "But you must. The bull's getting closer. Put up a prayer." And John said, "All right. I'll say the only prayer that I know. It's the prayer that my father used to say right before we had our evening meals." And so he said, "O Lord, for what we are about to receive, we are truly thankful." It's kind of what the psalmist is doing in Psalm 145. Praising God every single day. Come on, bless the Lord forever and ever. It's as inane for us to think about as this man John, who was about to be eaten, but still was grateful. How do we do that brothers and sisters? How do we be genuinely grateful, genuinely joyful in the midst of adversity? It's easy to rejoice when things are going well, but not so easy when things are going badly. And we want to be like the psalmist, who every day in every way was rejoicing in God forever and ever. The psalmist is like the Scottish minister Alexander White, who was known all across his community and all throughout the land for his beautiful, supportive, uplifting, positive prayers on Sunday mornings. On one Sunday morning, the clouds were dreary, though. There were storms brewing, and things looked very dark and very grim outside. And one of his parishioners sat there right before the morning prayer and wondered to himself, "Now, I wonder how the pastor is going to pray this morning." And that great minister, Alexander White, got up in the pulpit and began his prayer by saying, "We thank Thee, O God, that it is not always like this." That's kind of a way around that. But that's our goal this morning, to be a rejoicing people, even in times when it doesn't make sense. Well, fortunately for us, David doesn't leave us hanging with this question. He ends this great and powerful psalm. The last five verses of Psalm 145 with a hint of how we can be rejoiceful in difficult times. And what he says is, even though the situation in your life changes, when there are problems all around you and there are ups and downs to your life, God never changes. God never changes. In fact, the psalmist gives us four ways that God never changes and reasons for us to always rejoice. We'll just go through them real quickly. Verse 14. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them food in due season. You open your hand, satisfying the desire of every living thing. What's the first quality that God has that David can rejoice in all the time? It is that God is a providing God. That God pours out abundant blessings upon our lives every single day, whether we realize it or not. That God is a wealthy storehouse of blessings that God is just so eager to pour out upon us every single day. And whether we realize it or not, we are truly a blessed people. From the great things, even to the little things, even the things that we take for granted. You all, I'm sure, know the story of a 12-year-old boy named David. He was born without an immune system. And so for the first several years of his life, he lived in an enclosed bubble. You know the story about what the media eventually called the bubble boy, because he had to live in an enclosed environment to keep him from being exposed to germs and bacteria and other harmful things because he had no immune system. But then there was a breakthrough that developed in his life where he received a bone marrow transplant, and his body began the course of recovery to where he could live life for the first time outside his bubble. And so a reporter asked him, "David, what is the first thing that you're going to do when you get out of that bubble? What have you been looking forward to for your entire life that you have never been able to do, but now you're going to be able to do in just a short while?" And David said, "Well, I just want to walk on some grass. I want to walk barefoot on some grass. And I want to be able to touch my mother's hand. Just those two things." Dear ones, I remember hearing that story when I was in fourth grade in Mrs. Anderson's class, and she read that article to us, and I remember a little tear coming to my eye, because it's a story that framed my thinking forever. God is an abundant God who pours out blessings upon us each and every day, whether we realize it or not, and it's those little blessings that we can remember even in the tough times that give us reason to rejoice. Even the little things like being able to walk barefoot on the grass or to touch the hand of someone who loves us dearly. God is giving us everything that we need. How about verse 17, number 2? The Lord is just in all His ways and kind in all His doings. Here's the second quality the psalmist wants to tell us. That not only is God a providing God, God is a just and a fair God. And what awesome good news to remember each and every day. In a world where there is chaos swirling all around us, and the newspaper headlines sometimes are just enough to have us close the newspaper and put it away. David reminds us that God is a God who is constantly working in our lives and in the world for peace and justice in all that happens. You can bet that God is right now working in the Middle East, trying to settle the violence and the disruption that is happening in that part of the world. You can bet that God is working in this country and social systems that continue to oppress people, where violence happens almost randomly. And when we see those headlines and see the world seemingly falling apart all around us, we can claim promise number 2 by the psalmist David in Psalm 145. God is just. God is fair. And God is working. Working through faithful people who have the same agenda. Number 3. In verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. Further, the Lord watches over all who love Him, but all the wicked He will destroy. This is a good reminder for you if you ever feel lonely. If you ever feel like the fight that you're fighting or the journey that you're on is one that you're taking on by yourself. I'm sure you've heard the story in poem form called Footprints, where a man looks back on his life. And in those times when he felt like he was alone and in greatest need, turned out to be the very times where God was actually doing what? Carrying the man. David puts it in this way, the Lord is near to all who call on Him. The Lord watches over all who love Him. In those times when you feel like you are alone, like life is just too much for you to handle by yourself, you need to remember that number 1, God is a providing God who gives you everything you need. Number 2, God is a just and a fair God who is working for peace in our lives and throughout the world. And number 3, the promise that never changes, God is always with you. That will never change. And I love the final one in verse 19. David says, He fulfills the desire of all who fear Him. He also hears their cry and saves them. He fulfills the desire of all who love Him. The psalmist reminds us that in God, all of our deepest desires are met. Those things that we feel like we need in our lives that just eat away at us in our belly. Like those times when we feel like we need to be accepted and loved, God is there, surrounding us with accepting and loving people. When we feel like we need to be whole and complete in our lives, God is there with an abundant grace that moves us toward completion and wholeness. when we feel like we need to have purpose in our lives, like we need to know there's meaning in what we're doing, God is there with a unique plan for each of us that shows us the path in which we are to go. God fulfills our deepest desires, our deepest urges, our deepest needs. There's a story told of a businessman who was walking on a dock one day. And he was disturbed, this businessman was, to find a fisherman there who wasn't fishing. He was just sitting there next to his boat, looking kind of lazy in the middle of the day. And the businessman asked this fisherman, "Why aren't you out there fishing?" And the fisherman said, Because I've caught enough fish for the day." So the businessman said, "Well, why don't you go out there and catch more fish than you need?" And the fisherman said, "Well, now, why would I want to do that?" The businessman says, "Well, if you catch more fish than you need, then you can take the extra ones and you could sell them and make a profit." And the fisherman says, "Well, why would I want to do that?" Well, the businessman, almost enraged at this point, said, "Well, you could take the money and buy a better boat, or you could get some nylon nets. You could improve the way you catch fish so that you can catch even more fish and then sell that for profit and get even more money and keep," you know, with the whole businessman logic, tracing it out for this fisherman. Then the fisherman said, "Well, I don't understand. Then what would I do?" And the businessman said, "Well, once you get enough money, you could just sit down and enjoy life." And the fisherman said, "Well, what do you think I'm doing right now? Sitting here enjoying life." That is so countercultural, isn't it, brothers and sisters? When the world tells us that more is better to fulfill our deepest desires, when the world tells us that our deepest desires are money and fame and power and glory and more and bigger and greater, the psalmist says in verse 19, God fulfills your deepest desires. Your desire for acceptance. Your desire for intimacy in your relationship, your desire for purpose in life, and that is something that will never change. And so for the psalmist, there is enough reason to rejoice every day, because there is a God who never changes, a God who provides all that we need, a God who is fair and working for justice in the world, a God who is always with us and will never leave us, and a God who fulfills our deepest desires. Today is the second day of our stewardship campaign. And it is not a campaign that we're running because the church is in any kind of financial need. It's not a campaign that we're running because we need to meet certain budgetary goals. It's not so that you can give to the church or give to a budget. This is a stewardship campaign that we are running simply because God is an abundant God. And God has blessed us so much. And it is important as part of our own individual spiritual lives to express a commitment to God in gratitude for all of those blessings. That's all this is. Last week we took time to remember God's abundant blessings. This Sunday, let's start the journey of rejoicing, of being grateful for what God has given to us. And next week, we'll learn how to respond. Next Sunday, after the sermon, we're going to take up We're going to pass out some reservation cards so that each one of you can make a reservation to be at the celebration luncheon on November 22nd. It'll be one way that we can respond to the greatness of God, of joining together on that great day, November 22nd, when we will celebrate together a God who is abundant and great and worthy to be praised. How does the psalm end? In verse 21. Given all that David has told us, this is the only conclusion that he can make. This is the good news that he wants to just shout out. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Given what he knows about God, this is the only response he can make. To rejoice. To rejoice in God. And that is my prayer for you. In the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer of us all. Amen.